And that there is no one like you. You are an awesome God. And as we have sung and declared in our liturgy, Ein Kamocha, you have no rival. You're the awesome God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. No one like you, and there is nothing too difficult for you. And even as we celebrate Purim today, we are reminded of your power and your might to bring deliverance to your people in what seemed like an impossible situation. And so we are encouraged, Lord, no matter what we face personally as a congregation, as a nation, Lord, or what's going on in our world, nothing is too difficult for you, God. Your hand is not too short. And I thank you that your deliverance will come through for your people once again, as it always has. And we ask your blessing on this message today, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart that's ready to obey. In Yeshua's name, amen. So as we prepare to celebrate Purim tonight as a congregation, I wanted to just speak to us from the story of Purim. Most of us are familiar with this story, which is found in the book of Esther in the Bible. At this time, our Jewish people were in exile in Persia under a cruel king named Ahasuerus. And one young Jewish woman named Hadassah was being raised by her cousin Mordecai. And when the king had banished his wife, Vashti, he began to search for a new wife. And Hadassah, as we know from the story, was brought into the palace with many other young women from the kingdom. And we know the king chose Hadassah to be his queen, and that choice forever changed the course of history for our Jewish people. You understand? That's why he's powerful. The hearts of kings are in his hands. We don't miss that in the story. So who do you think prompted the king to pick Hadassah, right? Important little ditty there. But I just wanted to focus on Hadassah today and look at some of the things that we can see in her life and in her character that God used to bring deliverance to the Jewish people, characteristics that we can emulate in our own life. Because although we serve a powerful, almighty God, there is no rival. The reality is he works through men and women like you and I, like you and me. And so we need to make ourselves to be available. Because even though the king chose Hadassah, you know, Hadassah at every step of the way had choices that she had to make. And so I think as we look at her life and some of these characteristics and choose to walk in those same characteristics in whatever situation in life we find ourselves in, that God will use us to make a difference in our sphere of influence. So you may not be the queen of a nation, right? But you have a sphere of influence, every single one of us. And whatever that sphere of influence is, like Hadassah, God wants you to make a difference. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to make a difference? So let's look at a few of these this morning here. The first thing I thought of when I thought about Hadassah is that she was a very humble woman. And her humility is seen in her interactions with other people. When her cousin Mordecai tells her not to reveal her Jewish identity, she listens to him. When Haggai, who is the man in charge of the woman in the king's palace, gives her directions as to what she is to do and not do, she listens to him. And so in humility is being able to submit to others. So what we see about Hadassah is that she didn't have to always be calling the shots, you know, that she wasn't always demanding that she knew what to do. And she humbles herself and submits to these two men who God had divinely placed in her life to give her direction and guidance. But unfortunately, often pride keeps us from receiving input and directions from Hadassah. I mean, from others. Hadassah, for example, she didn't do this, but think about it. Now she's in the palace of the king, and Mordecai is still giving her directions. At any moment or time, she could have looked at her cousin Mordecai and said, you know, Mordecai, I really appreciate all that you've done for me. You took me in. Again, we don't know what happened to her parents, but she had no parents, and I appreciate this, but you really have no clue what life is like in the palace. And so I understand you want to, still influence me, but I got this. Mordecai, I know what I need to do. Again, you're out there. I'm in here. So let me take care of this. But she didn't do that, did she? Okay? And that's something that we need to learn. It's okay to have other people give input into our lives. And it's okay to listen to what those other people say and to actually do what those other people tell us to do, especially if those other people, and importantly, they better be, godly people. Mordecai was a godly man, all right? So for Hadassah to listen to this godly man was a good thing to do. That represented humility on her part. Even with Haggai, who was not necessarily a godly man, when he started speaking to her about what she needed to do, she could look at him and say, what do you know about being a woman? Okay, you're going to tell me what makeup to wear, what clothes to put on, what perfume? I got this. All right? She could have said that again. You see, a lot of us, that's our attitude. I got this. I don't need anyone to tell me. I don't need any help. I know what I'm doing. And yet God is placing people in our lives to say, in a subtle way, you don't really got it. And let me tell you what you really need to do in this particular situation. So some of us need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through people that he has already placed in our lives to help us navigate through a situation or a circumstance that we find ourselves in. This is okay. You can turn to your neighbor and say, you don't got it all. Some of you are enjoying that. None of us got it all, okay? And again, we need to be those who listen to God as he speaks to other people. Once she was in the palace, she didn't forget her roots or her cousin. She was not swayed by the opulence and the grandeur of the palace that was at her fingertips. And she didn't use her position as queen to stop listening to Mordecai, as I said. Mishlei Proverbs 12:15 says, fools suppose that their way is straight, but the wise, turn to your neighbor and say, be wise. The wise pay attention to advice. Okay. Everyone's like, I wish my child was here to hear this, right? The fools suppose that their way is straight. In other words, that it's correct. But the wise pay attention to advice. Hadassah was a wise woman that was not afraid to humble herself and listen to other people. Often we struggle with authority and submitting to other people because of this complex we have as human beings that we can make up our own minds, which is true. And as I said at the beginning of this message, even though the king chose Hadassah, Hadassah had choices she made every single day in her position as queen. So because we think we can make up our own minds and we have this independent spirit, I don't need someone to tell me what to do, we sometimes end up in a big mess with great turmoil in our lives because instead of listening, we decided to do things my way. And so in doing my way, I end up with some issues. If I'd only listen to the counsel given, hindsight, for you who are young, age makes a difference. There's a reason why the elderly is to be respected. I'm not there yet in terms of being elderly, just saying. He renews my youth. Thank you. A few of you got the joke. It's good. This is just extra for all the young people here like me. God has put older people into your life for a reason. And no parent paid me to say this. It's just a God thing. I'm going to encourage you, listen to those older people that God has placed in your life, because they have some wisdom and they have some insight and they can see some things that you just can't see. It's their perspective on life, because they have lived a little longer than you and they have gone through some things that they don't want you to go through. And their advice could just save you some service. So that's all free and extra. Listen to those who God has placed in your life. That's what Hadassah did. She listened carefully to the words of Mordecai and Haggai, and from how she presented herself to the king for the first time in her appearance there in the court, to the moment that she went to speak and plead for the life of her Jewish people. She relied on the advice of these two men and humbled herself. Yaakov, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "But the grace he gives is greater," which is why it says, "God opposes the arrogant or the proud, but to the humble he gives grace." So we can just sum up what humility is. It's being able to listen to others. It's not feeling I have all the answers. It's recognizing that God has placed others in my life to help me. And it's also thinking of others and not just myself. The second thing that I saw about Hadassah, and there's many, I'm not going to cover everything about her today, but I have three or four things here, is that she was a very courageous woman. Throughout the entire story, we see Hadassah display great courage. One year when we studied through the book of Esther, leading up to Purim, some of you might have been a part of that study. Some of the things we discuss during that study are things that are often overlooked in the celebrations of Purim and the lightheartedness of the evening. And, you know, the Purim spiels and plays, everything is done in a fun manner and way. And but it's a very serious story that we're commemorating. The Jewish people were almost annihilated. And Esther, Hadassah, was in a foreign land. Understand that? This was not her homeland. And we talked about this in that study. And King Ahasuerus, Aki as we like to call him around here, and we make fun and joke about him, but he was not a nice man, okay? He was a king of a land that conquered other people. So it's not like she had met the man of her dreams and had married him. And sometimes we overlook that when we celebrate Purim the way we celebrate it in our modern celebrations in Judaism. And this is what the author in that book that we used for our study said, "Just as no one is born prejudiced, so no one is born courageous." Hadassah had to develop a courageous heart. It's something that she had to embrace and say yes to in the face of adversity and hardship, and that's the same thing that you and I need to do. It took courage for Hadassah to survive in this foreign land. Courage was needed to go into the harem of a foreign king, realize that that's what she was in, okay? This was not a monogamous relationship. She was there with a bunch of other women. You know, the one night with the king, we all get the picture of what happened at that night, okay? And she was one of many women who had the one night with the king. Do you understand what's going on here? So this is the situation that she's in. Again, not an ideal situation for a young Jewish woman in a foreign land, again, who was probably not anticipating marrying a foreigner at all, let alone being one of many wives and concubines to this foreign king. Think about it. I'm sure she, like many of the other young women, knew of the story from the first part of the book of how the king had banished Vashti, right? And there was that threat that at any moment the king could get fed up with her and dismiss her, and even more, again, he had the ability to take her life. So she lived under this threat all the time. That required courage on her part to navigate through these types of situations. I'm going to just remind you, her story was not an ancient Cinderella story. Okay? She was forced to come to the king's palace with all these other young women. And he was not, King Ahi was not her knight in shining armor. Courage, courage. And once she settled into the palace after winning the favor of the king, her courage was put to the test again. When Mordecai discovered this plot of Haman, get you ready for tonight, to kill the Jewish people, he immediately sought the help of his young cousin Hadassah, and he asked her to go into the king, as we know, and plead for the lives of Jewish people. The problem, as we all know, is that Hadassah had not been in to see the king in almost 30 days. What's the problem with that? In the court of the king, you could not just go walking in any old time you wanted to. So she said, you know, if I walk in and he does not extend his scepter, my life is over. It's easy for us to think, as we look back, you know, it's not a big deal. Even as we was talking about, as we was trekking through the Torah on Wednesday night, and we're wrestling with some of the issues that are there and the scriptures we're talking about. Sometimes when we look back at the scriptures, we are looking at it from our 20th, 21st century mindset, and we're trying to wrap our head into what we understand of life, but it's not that way, friends. You know, it was a very, very big deal for her to go into this king without being asked. It was a real threat of her life. Courage was what she displayed in doing this. And we know that her source of courage was God. Even though if you've been around and you know that the name of God is never mentioned in the book of Esther explicitly, but what did Hadassah ask Mordecai and the Jewish people to do? Pray and fast. Who is she praying to? The God of Israel, right? So where did she get her courage from? From God. And that's where you and I can get courage. And we talked about this in the message a month or so ago, about, and I'm going to talk about how she's a person of action, but the first action we always, always need to do, which we often don't, thank you, Chris, is to pray. So prayer becomes one of the last things we do when we find ourselves in a tumultuous, difficult situation. It should be the first thing that we do. To seek prayer, God through prayer. And as we do, he gives us courage and guidance and understanding of the situation that we find ourselves in. I cannot tell you, I've said this in my message in the last few weeks, Michael and I are so blessed to see the increase in prayer on Thursday nights. It's not a small thing, again, for us to come together as a congregation and pray. And to see many of you making effort to come out, and those who have reached out and said, you know, I physically can't make it because of my schedule, but I want to be praying with you. Can you let us know what you're praying about? Has so encouraged our hearts, because prayer is the first thing that we need to do as a people. And that's what Hadassah did. And because of that, she gained courage, and that's what you and I can do. Courage is a quality that's needed in our world today. As followers of Yeshua, we need to develop a courageous heart in the face of the adversity and the atmosphere of a very godless society that we live in, who would seek to shut us out and to shut us up. It's going to take courage to stand up in this to the evil in our generation and not cave into the pressures of our society to be politically correct and tolerant of what God calls sin. Rabbi Michael and I are not politically correct, in case you're wondering. Sin is sin. We cannot whitewash it down. We cannot say it's anything other than what God says. But in this day and age, it takes courage for a spiritual leader to make that statement, or for any of you as believers to make that statement. We've discussed this many times in our Wednesday night study. You know, the pressures you have in a godless world to shine brightly as lights is not easy because of the pressure. And once you make your stand known and you take a stand for righteousness against sin, you are called narrow-minded, legalistic, intolerant. Anyone been called those things? Of course. So it takes courage to stand up to the evil. It takes courage, I believe, to speak the truth in love to our family members. Can I say that again? It takes courage to speak the truth in love to our family members, even when they push back and seemingly reject what we're saying. Hello? Anyone besides me experience that? It takes courage to not shrink back because you don't want to rock the boat. Nobody wants your family to be mad at you. I mean, I don't. I don't like, you know, when there's been tension with my siblings or my immediate family. Yeah, we never fight, right? Ha ha ha. We always resolve all tensions. But I've had unbelieving family members. My husband does too. And sometimes when we are speaking the truth in love, it can get a little tense and a little awkward. And, you know, they turn the conversation around. And then, you know, we're not invited to anything for a while. Hello? We're going to speak the truth in love. I encourage you to do the same thing. Courage to do that. It takes courage to speak out against the anti-Semitism and hate of Israel being spewed across our nation and the world, not just in words, but also in actions. To see it displayed in our Congress is, can I say, more than alarming? Hello? I'm not going to talk politics, but I'm going to talk the truth. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who don't will be cursed. I'm grateful for the stance that our president took on Thursday on Purim when he recognized the sovereignty of the nation of Israel over the Golan Heights. You may not like our president, and that's okay. There's a lot I don't like about him. But there's one thing that he has done right, and that is as far as it comes to Israel and to protection of life. Courageous to stand up for Israel in this world. Friends, be alert. We're going to talk about that. It is scary. Don't think this is mere rhetoric, these words that are being spoken. It is a spirit of anti-Semitism behind them, the same spirit of anti-Semitism that led to the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. So be alert and be aware and speak up and support those who speak up and take a stand. I'm so blessed to see one state after another pass into law protection of the unborn baby after our Congress did not have the guts to take a stand for life. One state after another has been passing. I don't know if you've been watching this. It is just amazing on the state level, which we have that ability to do. Unfortunately, our state, New York, has not done that. But it is so encouraging to see this. That baby in the womb is a baby. It is a human life. And to take a life is called murder in God's eyes. And so we need to support those who take that stand to preserve life. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to say enough is enough. We will stand up for righteousness no matter what the cost. And friends, it'll cost you to take a stand for righteousness. It ain't over, okay? It is not over. There is a lot that's going to be played out in the world, in these areas, and many, many more. But we need to stand up and say, enough is enough. I don't care what happens to me. I'm taking a stand for righteousness. And that's what Hadassah did. Devarim 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, that's the strength that Hadassah received. 3 days prayer and fasting. God gave her the courage to go into that room. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Ein kamocha Adonai. There is none like you. You have no rival. Don't get me started again. You have no rival. Be mighty in the strength of the Lord. God is your strength. He is all powerful. There is no one like him, and he encourages us to be strong. Take a stand for righteousness. Be courageous like Hadassah. Stand up for right, what is right. I will be your strength. No rival. All powerful. Several times in the passage that I read from the Hebrew, it said, Adonai Tzevaot, Adonai Tzevaot, Adonai Tzevaot. 3 times. The Lord God of the armies of heaven. He was behind Hadassah, and he's behind you and me. That's why deliverance came to our Jewish people, and that's why deliverance will come today. Tied with that, the next thing that I see is spiritually alert. 50 years earlier, Cyrus had been given permission for the Jewish people to return to Jerusalem. For some reason, Hadassah's family had chosen not to do so. Hadassah and Mordecai, this text doesn't tell us why. But Mordecai's words indicate that he understood that Adonai was going to use that decision to show his glory on behalf of his people. He said, for such a time as this, what time? The time when Israel needed someone to speak up on its behalf. A time when Israel needed someone to deliver them. And Hadassah was in that place where she could do something. Listen to me. I can't emphasize this enough. Hadassah's story is like out of this world because, again, she saved an entire people group. And you and I may be sitting there saying, Rabbi Carol, I don't have influence like Hadassah. I get it. But whatever sphere you are in, you have influence in that sphere. Even if it's one life that you change, that you save, one child that you save from being aborted, being murdered, isn't that worth taking a stand? Don't minimize what you can do, where you are at, where God has placed you. Yes, most of us will not have the power that Hadassah had. Most of us will not be in a position to save an entire nation, although some of you may be. But all of us can make a difference in the life of one person. Be alert. Be alert to what's going on around you. It's important that we do not get lulled into a lifestyle of coasting in God. We need to be spiritually alert as to what is going on in our world today. As I said, it's not over with this, with anti-Semitism. It's not over with the right to life. The battle is just beginning, okay? Be alert. We need to be spiritually alert as to what is going on, as I said, in our world, and each of us has been strategically placed where Adonai wants us to be if we are living our lives surrendered to him. And even if we make a decision that is perhaps not the wisest and best, everyone look at me. Maybe you made some bad decisions. Maybe even this week you made some bad decisions. It's not over. God can redeem it. He's in the business of redeeming things. And even if it was someone else's decision that caused you to be where you are, like Hadassah was where she was, not because she chose to be there, God can turn it around. God can turn it around and use it for his glory. See, the place you are may not be the place where you think you should be. It may not be the place, look at me guys, it may not be the place where you thought you would be at this season of your life. Again, Hadassah, I am sure when we talk to her in heaven, she's going to tell us, I never in 1,000 years thought I'd be in a harem in a king's palace. You may not be where you thought you would be a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But if we yield to Hashem, he will position us to be used for his glory and for great deliverance. Unfortunately, too many times, too many of us are looking for ways to get out of our situation instead of looking for Adonai's hand and purpose in the midst of our situation. Think about it. As I said, Hadassah made choices every day. She could have made a choice to try to get out of the harem. I don't think it would have worked, but she could have resisted. She could have, think about it. She could have resisted and made a big stink there in the harem, and she would have been put out on the back 40. You know what I'm saying? Never to be heard or seen from again. She didn't do that. And because she didn't do that, she was positioned to be in a place that saved the Jewish people. If you are here today as a Jewish person, Hadassah saved your life. All of us, Jew and Gentile here, because Hadassah stayed in that harem, the Messiah was born. Think about it. Again, it may not be the situation you wanted to be in, but if you yield your life to God and ask him to show you, give you eyes to see what you cannot see, you would be amazed at what he will do in you and through you. One of my favorite verses from the book of 1 Chronicles, which most of us don't like to read because it's a lot of genealogies, etc., but it says in chapter 12, verse 33 in the Hebrew, verse 32 in the English, of the descendants of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Hadassah, with the help of her cousin Mordecai, understood the times and knew what had to be done. I'm telling you, in this day and age that we are living in, we desperately need to understand the times, and we need to know what should be done. It only happens by yielding ourselves to God and his purposes. If you're living life your way for yourself, you'll never, ever be able to discern the divine purposes and promises, and you'll never be able to walk in them. I speak about this a lot with the young people. I love working with the young people. Especially when I work with them one-on-one in the bar mitzvah training But I believe this of all the young people, I believe this of everybody, every person has a destiny on their life. Okay? You have a destiny on your life. And in that destiny, and we sung this, God works all things together for our good and the good of others. So understanding and discerning the situation that you find yourself in that you did not plan to be in will change everything. How do you know the time? How do you discern what to do? 3 days, what did Hadassah do? Prayer and fasting. Guys, seeking God is the only way you're going to be able to understand what to do. We have some serious things facing our nation. Again, I mentioned two of them, the anti-Semitism. My heart agree. I watch these things. I see these things coming. You see, I share them on my Facebook page a lot, one act after another around the world. This whole thing with the abortion is, okay, and again, we can just run out, and we talked about this with the leaders who were here on Tuesday, and we shared this in our with some of you, and especially in the women's study last month. You know, they are putting together something to help us to unite together. So, you know, the average congregation runs about 100. He said, so if you had 1,000, 100 pastors, and the amount of people that would be behind it. So they are working on this, and even from our headquarters down, and it just, you know, God, show us what we can do, okay? And how is he going to show us? Through prayer and fasting, connecting to him, relationship with him. Hadassah and Mordecai had a vibrant relationship with God, and that's why they knew exactly what to do. And she stepped out in that courage that we talked about. And leads me to the last point this morning. That she was a woman of action. As I said, her first step was to seek God. And she called the whole Jewish community praying fast with her. And as I said, this is an area of renewed commitment for us as a congregation. And it's been such a blessing to Rabbi Michael, myself, and the other leadership to see this increased attendance on Thursdays. Always take spiritual action first. Don't step out with your own understanding. Take spiritual action first. It was only after praying and fasting that she stepped into the court of the king. Listen to everyone, okay? I know I can see some of you checking out. Not good, because this message is for you, and I know you've heard this story, and we tell it every year, but it's what God wants us to hear. Okay. Seek spiritual guidance first. Okay. In your action, when you step out without seeking spiritual guidance first, 99% of the time, you're going to go down the path that you shouldn't go down. Hadassah, through faith in the God of Israel, stepped out trusting the outcome into his hands. The book of Messianic Jews, Hebrews 10:39 says, but we aren't the sort of people who timidly draw back and end up being destroyed. We're the sort of people who have faith. That's what Hadassah displayed, faith, so that our whole beings are preserved. Throughout the scriptures, we read of men and women of faith. And one of the common denominators of these men and women is that they all were men and women of action. Hadassah laid out a plan to save her people. We're not explicitly told that God told her to have these two banquets, but we are trusting that because she prayed for 3 days and fasted, that this is the plan that God gave her. Some of us would have gone rushing straight in and said, King, you have to save my people. It's not what she did. She had a banquet. She called the king and wicked Haman. And then she had a second banquet. God gave her a strategy to step into. God will always give us wisdom and strategy to be the people of action that he has called us to be. Adonai always has a plan for every situation that we find ourselves in. He has a plan for your life, for your family, for this congregation, for this nation, and for this world. And we need to be those people who understand his plans, as I said a while ago. But more importantly, we need to be a people who act on those plans that he has given to us. Adonai's plan for the Jewish people has remained the same throughout history. Besides reading in the book of Luke with the teens, I'm reading in the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. And then I was reading in the part where God is saying, you know, my covenant with Israel will never, ever cease to be. If the moon ceases to be in the heaven and shine, if the stars stop shining, the sun, then I'll stop. But he's saying that's never going to happen. His purposes and plans for the Jewish people has remained consistent to preserve her as a nation. And every generation, Hasatan has sought to annihilate the Jewish people. And every generation, God had a plan and he had a person. Hello? He had a person who stepped up and said, Hineni, here I am, God. I'll spring into action. I'll follow your plan. And God used those people to bring deliverance. In our story of Purim, it's Hadassah. Next month, we're celebrating Passover. It'll be Moshe. He always had a person. God is looking for you to be that person who says, Hineni. So as we close today, I want to remind each of us that the story of Purim is our story. Hasatan is still active, and he's seeking to destroy the Jewish people and to wreak havoc in your life as well, in your family, in this world. But like Hadassah, we can see a great deliverance if we become that person who says, Hineni. Let's stand to our feet and we'll close in prayer. I want to just encourage you with the words of Mordecai to Hadassah. I believe these are God's words to you, whether you're listening here in the sanctuary this morning, or you're listening by the podcast. God is saying to us, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jewish people. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jewish people from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And this is the thing. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's God's word to every single person listening to this message. Who knows but that you are in that position, you're in that job, you're in that neighborhood, you're in this congregation, you're on Long Island for such a time as this. God needs one person to say, Hineni. That's what Hadassah did, and that's what we need to do. And as we do, our lives will be forever changed, but not just our lives, the lives of others as well. Let's pray. Hashem, we thank you for your goodness and your protection over our Jewish people. And as we celebrate this today through the holiday of Purim, God, we do not take for granted your mighty hand of deliverance. And as you encouraged us through worship and through the message, God, we are grateful that you are mighty and all-powerful. And God, I pray for those listening to this message today, or later by podcast, that we would all respond in the same way Hadassah did, with great courage, with humility of heart, and spring into action with great discernment as we listen to you and your plans for the situation. I thank you, God, that many people will respond, Hineni, here I am. God, I thank you that situations will change because of the people in this congregation. And we give you glory and we give you honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Just want to let you know there are no afternoon activities, no prayer or Hebrew, because our